The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome, everyone. It's Matt Slick Live. And let's see, it's May 12th, 2021 for the podcasters. If you want, you can give me a call. We have five open lines, 877-207-2276. And, sorry, I had to clear my throat there. If you're newbie to the show, you're not sure what's going on, what the show's about, Matt Slick is my real name, and I'm a Christian apologist, and we defend the Christian faith. What I teach is all Christians should teach and affirm, that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. Without him, there is no other option. There's no other way. Acts 4:12, there is no other name under heaven by which a man may be saved other than through Jesus. He is alone the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. We have to go through Jesus Christ, who's God in flesh. God is a Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three simultaneous and distinct eternal persons, not one person in three forms or manifestations. Justification, the legal declaration of righteousness, is by faith alone, in Christ alone, by God's grace alone. Therefore, Roman Catholicism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses are all false religious systems because they add works to salvation. And there are many other issues we talk about. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Romans 1:16, it is the power of God to salvation, and everybody needs to hear that gospel message, that Jesus Christ, God in flesh, who died on the cross, rose from the dead 3 days later for a sacrifice for our sins. If you want your sins forgiven, all of them, then turn to Christ and ask him to forgive you of all of your sins. Just admit that he is the Lord, the King, the Savior, and that you want him to change you. And you turn from your sins and you put your faith and trust in Jesus and count that cost, because what he'll require of you is to follow him. This is what we need to preach as Christians, and that's what I do preach. And if you have questions about the Bible, theology, logic, evolution, UFOs, occult, New Age, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Unity, Baha'i, Islam, Roman Catholicism, Eastern Orthodoxy, all kinds of stuff, well, give us a call and we'll see if we can blab through an answer or two. If I don't know, I'll just tell you I don't know. So again, the number, 877-207-2276. Four open lines. We're also going to Israel next year, and we have a link at the very top of the black bar at the top of the CARM website. You can check it out. And this trouble in Israel will pass. It always does. And next year, Lord willing, we'll be going to Israel. It's a lot of fun. If you're interested in checking it out, just go to that link at the top of the carm.org website, carm.org. We do stay on the air by your donations. We don't ask a lot. I don't really like to get in and do that very much. But if you're interested in supporting us and you want the show to continue, all you got to do is go to carm.org/donate. That's it. carm.org/donate, and you can help us out. We ask $5-$10 a month, and that helps us make budgets. See, all that's pretty quick and slick. All right, let's get to John from Florida. John, welcome. You are on the air.
I got back to Matt.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
So what, okay, my question is, what would be a good response to Catholics? You know how they use the, you know, when Jesus says to Peter, "On this rock I will build my church,"
yes,
and the Greek word is Petros and Petra, and Catholics seem to be disregarding those and say that, well, they spoke in Aramaic, so he's talking about Kepha, and so they disregard the Petros and Petra. Well, how would you respond to that?
Well, whenever they go to the Aramaic, you say, so you admit that the Greek doesn't support what you're saying, so you have to go to a different language. And that's the thing you got to bring up. And because of what Petra and Petros are there in Matthew 16:18, they understand the difference, and the difference is legitimate. And this is what we translate the Bible from, is the Greek, not the Aramaic. So they are admitting that Matthew 16:18 in the Greek does not support their heretical false doctrine. And you point it out to them. Kepha is that Aramaic word, but we don't have Matthew in Aramaic. We have it in Greek. That's what God ordained. And some say, well, Matthew wrote everything in Aramaic. Well, maybe he did. Show us the original, or show us a copy of the Aramaic that's very, very early, along with the copies of Matthew in Greek. Show it to us. And if you don't have it, then please sit down, because you don't have any evidence to support your view. Okay? They're just reaching. They're reaching for, grasping for straws, as the argument goes. Okay?
Because, all right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, because they're idolaters, remember, and they replace Jesus with their church. And they want Peter to be the Pope. They want their church to be the means of salvation. It's a false religion. So, okay?
I agree, man.
Thank All right, man.
Bye-bye.
All right, buddy. God bless. Okay, that was John from Florida. Folks, we have 3 open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. John from Raleigh, North Carolina, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, good evening. Thank you for taking my call. I first wanted to say I listen to you on the way home from work most days, and I think you do a great job. I consider myself a Christian. I have observed UFO events probably 3 times in my life. Okay. And I never really considered that as intersecting with religion, but when you mentioned that a minute ago, I felt compelled to call you and ask you for your thoughts.
Sure. Let me ask you. You say you're a Christian. I need to do a little diagnosis here really fast, okay? All right? Are you there?
Sure.
Okay. So do you believe Jesus
Yes, sir.
Christ is God in flesh who died on the cross, rose from the dead?
Absolutely.
Okay. And the Trinity is one God in 3 simultaneous, distinct, eternal persons, right?
Absolutely.
And salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, right?
That's what you teach.
That's what I teach. Is that what you believe?
Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir.
Okay.
I'm just repeating what I heard said on your show just a moment ago.
Yeah. Okay, now the reason I asked is because a lot of times UFOs are connected with the occult. And so sometimes you can see things before you're a Christian, and then people don't see them after they're Christian. Sometimes that is the case. And when I was involved in the occult, I saw what I would call a UFO. It wasn't like a, hey, look, it's a disc, it's a spaceship with people waving from it. It was a light in the sky moving at an incredible speed, changing directions. There was absolutely no way that it was, that it was a normal craft. And so, but I was involved in the occult at the time. And so I'm thinking there's a connection there. Plus, the aliens, not many people know this. Go ahead.
I said I wouldn't think so. I'm not asking it in the context of an occult. Each time I witnessed it, I was with many other people.
I
just wanted to share that piece of it with you.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you about it here in a sec, but I want people to know that the aliens have taught theology, and there's different books that discuss the theological perspective that, so to speak, these aliens teach, whatever you want to call them. And that what they teach is Jesus is not God, reincarnation is true, and we're all divine. And so there's definitely an antichrist kind of a thing going on, and the Bible talked about a great deception later, so maybe that's part of the deception, I don't know. All right, now let's ask. So when you were with these other people, were you outside a desert? Were you in an urban area? Where were you?
The first time I was at Atlantic Beach, 7:30 on a Saturday night, about 15 other people, and saw a large circle of light that did not emit a flame that went across the horizon about a quarter mile to half mile out over the ocean, and maybe a couple hundred yards, a quarter mile high, and then did an immediate 90-degree turn and went up and into the sky and disappeared rapidly.
All right. What about the second time?
The second time I was at Magstead, 8 o'clock, 8:45, summer evening, families all over the beach, observed what looked like a kite with several other kites. And then on closer inspection realized it wasn't a kite, and they were in fact lights as dusk was coming down.
Okay.
And so I observed them for maybe 10 minutes, brought another fellow over away from his family. We observed him.
Okay.
We watched him for so long, he got bored and rejoined his family. I continued to watch, and then all of a sudden, as they were moving all around like the mothership, and then lights around the other one, and then all of a sudden, the main one dropped down out of the sky and then did a 90-degree turn sort of over the beach and back towards Manio at a speed that was, you know, extremely rapid and you couldn't follow.
That was,
and then the third time was something very similar to the third and also at Nagpur.
Did you get any of these on film?
No, sir, I did.
Okay. All right. Well, and you were a Christian when you saw these things?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, looks like you saw something.
My basic question is, you know, what is the, sort of the biblical view of this? I mean, one possibility
here's the thing.
Life elsewhere as well.
Now, here's the thing. I'm going to just go into this quickly, and I'll give the reasons why. It's impossible for life to form by chance any place in the entire universe. There's what's called the universal probability bound, and it's a limit, a mathematical limit to the maximum number of possible events in the known universe. You're making noise by clicking something, doing something. You gotta you're making noise there.
Okay. I'm sorry.
So if the universe, which I don't believe it is 18 billion years old, which is way longer than anybody says. That would be 10 to the 18th seconds, and the number of particles in the universe is 10 to the 80th. If they could change their state, the maximum rate, which is 10 to the 40th times per second, that'd be a total of 10 to the 138th power. In other words, if every atom in the universe was altering its own state, and there's discussion what that is, but every atom in the entire universe maximally changing its state for the entire age of the universe would be 10 to the 138th power. It's called the universal probability bound. The odds of life form by chance, or just DNA molecules, is so more vast than that, 10 to the 20, 30,000th power. And that's just for molecule formation, not protein formation and things like that, and reading mechanisms. It is so mathematically beyond comprehension that it's just not going to happen. And people don't get that, what that means. If there were 10 to the 80th atoms in the universe, and every atom itself was a universe with 10 to the 80th, it's 10 to the 80th times 10 to the 80th. That's only 10 to the 160th power. And the odds of DNA coming together and what it is with an RNA reader and all this stuff, it gets into... 10 to the 20, 30,000th power. It gets into such immense numbers. It's just not going to happen. Now, that reason I'm bringing this up is, well, then what are these things? They teach theology. They denounce Christ. So something's going on. There has to be a spiritual connection with them. And that's what I'm saying. And also, there's only one account of a Christian ever being abducted. And it was a woman who had, she had to give her permission. So hold on. We'll talk a little bit more about this when we get back from the break, okay? Hey, folks, be right back after these messages. We have one open line, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. John, are you still there?
Yes, sir, I am, Matt. Thank you.
All right, don't know if that helped very much. There's some information there. There's a lot more to talk about. But yeah, I've been studying UFO stuff for, 30, 35 years now. So.
Yes, sir. I had a little trouble following all of the scientific explanation with the proteins and atoms mm-hmm. and the percentages and degrees and so forth. Is there a summary that you could provide?
You can
your views on there.
I think I've written some articles on that on CARM. Let's see. I think Charlie was putting some stuff in there. mathematical. Let's see, what was it?
I guess my question is, if in fact that it is an unidentified flying object, and it's not a military or other craft or what have you from our Earth, and if God created the universe, wouldn't he have created the UFOs as well?
If any life is out there, it's because God created it. Because that's it. It's just not going to happen that life's going to form by chance. I get a kick out of the Drake equation, and they always look for life on Mars and things like that. Well, here's something to think about, too, just a little thought about life on Mars. What if they do find something? What if they do find some microbes, real microbes? It does not prove life evolved there because microbes from Earth can be cast up by winds up into the atmosphere, and they can be blown by solar wind clear out to Mars and settle on Mars. And not many people are aware of that. It's a physiological possibility. So they have to be able to demonstrate all kinds of stuff. But nevertheless, the Bible talks about a great deception coming. I think that Christians need to be aware that UFOs are a potential for great deception. And I've got some theories about some stuff that I'm thinking about putting in my third novel. But we'll see.
That's a good point. Do you have time for a 60-second unrelated question?
Sure, real
about
fast.
The Bible. What does the Bible refer to as far as high places in the Old Testament
when the
leaders would resume their activities at the high places, and that would displease God, and then their son would not, and that would please God, and kind of back and forth, but I never understood what the high places were.
Okay, I've been to one, and that's in Israel. A high place was up on a hill, or a high place on the side of a mountain, where they would have an altar as they're trying to reach to the heavens. It's called a high place. That's all. Okay?
Okay. And why was that displeasing to God if they were
because
trying
it's idolatry.
To get closer to him?
It's idolatry. Because they weren't trying to high places for God. They're trying to high places for Baal or Moloch or whatever it was. Okay.
The references that I saw never gave that any context. So that was not clear to me. So thank you for answering that.
You're welcome. All right. God bless, buddy.
Have a good day, Matt. I'll call you again sometime.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Let's get to Matt from North Carolina. Matt, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt Slick. Is falling out in the spirit biblical?
Falling out?
Yeah, in the spirit, like falling on your face, or you know how like these Pentecostal churches, they fall back. You know?
Okay. It's not recorded in Scripture in that context of a spiritual ecstatic experience. Except in the presence of God, they will fall on their face because the holiness of God is so profound. And Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5 were killed because of their lying to the Holy Spirit. And so they were killed. So that's falling on their face in that sense. But this charismania that goes on where they put their hands up their foreheads and knock them down, they get slain in the spirit. No, I don't see that as being biblical at all. It's some over-emotionalism and manipulation. Okay?
Yeah, I don't think it is either. But there is like, whenever like they were dedicating a temple, they would fall down on their face and worshiping God.
That's different. See, I was in Southern California, went to Melody Land, which is no longer there. It's across the street from Disneyland, and I used to go there and listen to Walter Martin. Well, one day I went to a church service in another part of the building, and they said, a bunch of people went down. I went down also to get slain in the spirit. If it's going to happen to me, it's going to happen. I want to see if God is going to be used or will be using this man to do this. And a bunch of us went down there. And this pastor guy would get up and do all this stuff and get everybody hyped up. And I'm like, this is just hype. And so he put his hand on different people's foreheads, and they would just fall back. Well, I couldn't see everything until he got to the guy just to my right. And then I watched. And this guy to my right was so eager. You could just see he was just smiling and just fidgety and eager. As soon as the guy's hand even went near his forehead, I saw him fall back himself. And I said, oh, this is fake. And then the guy got to me, and he pushed my forehead back. And I'm standing there. And he did it like three times. And I'm just standing there. And he went on to the next person. And then I'm the only one left standing up. And so, not that that makes doctrine true or false or anything, but that's what that's my experience with it. And if God wants to knock me down, he can do it. But I just think it's a
lot
of fool tomery, tomfoolery. That's what it is. Boy, I haven't used that for a long time. So, and it's manipulation, emotional manipulation. People fall for it. No pun intended. Okay.
Yeah, I know that. I know because I've done it. Like, see, I fell forward whenever I did mine. That's what it says the Bible to do, right? Yeah. See, yeah, the Holy Spirit got up. I mean, I was praying one day. I got up, and I just fall flat on the face.
That's okay.
I woke up, and my mom was like, hey, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm just praying.
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean,
that's fine. That's different. That's different than the charismatic stuff where you go up front, get slain in the spirit, the power of God, Benny Hinn wackery, and all that kind of stupidity. No, when you're in the presence of God, you're going to put your face on the ground on your own. It's going to happen because his presence is so magnificent. But going up front to get slain in the spirit. I remember back in Escondido, San Diego County, I'd drive down this one street and had this, it was basically a cult group. And they said, Holy Spirit revival meeting, you know, like we like Tuesday the 15th, 7 p.m. And I remember thinking, that's so ridiculous. Well, the Holy Spirit's going to be here to, you know, on that date at that time to do what they want. It's just, you know, stupidification. It's stupidification.
Yeah.
Okay, buddy. All right.
I appreciate it, man. I learned something. Thank you, sir.
Good. God bless, man. All right, let's get to Zeno. Oh, I like that name. From Missouri. Zeno, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. What do you got, buddy?
I'm a really big fan of the show, but I have a question on LGBT and marriage.
Okay.
My sister-in-law, she is in the LGBT movement, and she's going to be getting married soon. And I'm a Christian. My wife, I'm sorry, yes, to a guy that is a cross-dresser.
Wait, I'm trying to understand. So you're, there's a break, darn it, I want to hear. I want to know what the situation is, just because I'm curious, okay? Right back, okay, buddy? Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. Let's get back on the air with Zeno. I love that name. So, where were we?
Thank you.
All right, LGBT.
I should explain it a little better. My sister-in-law, she is a trans, she's gender fluid. That's what she claims to be.
Okay.
And she's going to be getting married to a man that is transgender, and she is inviting us to her wedding. Mm-hmm. And her mom is actually going to be having a meeting tonight with us and her sisters to see how to address it, because she's a Christian. But the sad part is,
wait, they're going to meet for what reason?
Just together. She's wanting to talk to, you know,
to
the family about the whole situation,
to see if they're going to go.
Yes, I guess just to get a feel or whatever.
Have them do a phone conference. I'd be glad to be on the other end of the line and field questions about this tonight. Seriously. Not kidding.
I know. It's such a really... And what's sad about the whole situation is one of her sisters, we all go to the same church, and she's kind of on the God made them that way and that type of nonsense. So it's more of an inside argument when it shouldn't be. So we're just trying to figure out how to address it, because we want to be, you know, we want to be godly with the whole situation and
I can tell you,
make it clear that, so that's the situation. I just want to know how to address it, you know?
Well, what you do is you put Christ first, and you love them as much as you can as you put Jesus first. And you say, we, you know, love you and stuff, but we don't recognize your, what we call sin, what we, your sin in this. We don't recognize it as being godly. And your union is an ungodly union from our perspective, and we can't participate in that. It doesn't mean we don't love you. It doesn't mean we don't care about you. We can't publicly approve of it in support. And you don't go.
Exactly. Yes, and that's what, you know, obviously where we're leaning. But and I'm sure that her mom would have the same stance, but it's just sad that some Christians mm-hmm. and look at that and say, oh, it's okay. And
it's not okay.
That's kind of where the... Exactly. It's not okay. So,
no, it's not.
I mean, so we just...
So ask them...
So we're wanting...
Are you going to be there tonight in this meeting?
No, I wasn't invited. It's just my wife and her mom and her three sisters.
Ah, it's a ladies' meeting.
Yes.
Well, still, volunteer me. You can email me, and I'll give you my cell number and things like that. And if they are curious, you know, I'm not gonna, you know, come in with a you know, like a bull in a china shop. I can answer questions, and I can tell them that, you know, the basic thing is, if you want to tell them to your wife, I'll be willing to talk to you and your wife off the line too. But we need to honor God before we honor man, and we need to obey Him before we honor. And so, for example, a homosexual wedding would not be anything that any Christian could approve of. It's a denial of the created order. It's a denial of the ordination of God's system in marriage, male and female. So a Christian has no business supporting it. For someone who's gender fluid, that is an issue of sin on their part, and which is a further rebellion against God. And then to marry someone who is a transvestite, or whatever you want to call it, which the Bible condemns wholeheartedly, that would be another violation. So Christians don't have any business going to weddings like that. They don't.
Agreed. Agreed. Okay. I will relay that. You know, I mean, my wife's just going to watch this, you know, and I will give her the information that you would be willing to talk.
Yeah,
to everyone, if they'd be willing to do so. And thank you very much. I mean, I've been watching your show for a long time. So the first thing I brought up was, I wonder what Matt would say, because we have the right understanding, but sadly, some other Christians don't. And that's going to be the whole argument is.
Yeah, because Christians are often just, they're going with their feelings. Now, here's the thing. I'm gonna say something that I'm serious about, yet at the same time, I'm cautious in saying it. But women are more emotional than men. They want to please more than men, and you know, things like that, which is good. So a bunch of ladies getting together, is there going to be anybody in there who is biblically minded? Or are,
exactly.
You know, or are they going to do the let's just make it all better kind of attitude, and then they participate in something because they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings? And that's what I'm concerned about, you know, not to knock women in their, the beauty of their care, you know. Because it's a wonderful thing. But so that's what I'm saying, and I can be very gentle. People don't realize that until they talk to me. They go, man, you're not nice, but I thought you were. You know, and I say, yeah, it's okay. You know, I understand. But that's it. So if you are interested in that, what you would do is you would email, if you want, you'd email me at info@carm.org, give me your cell, and I would call you on a different line, because there'd be people who want my cell number who then spam, and I get spammed. And so I have to make sure it's you. Then
I hear you.
Yeah, I get a lot. I get this a lot, and it's a lot of crud. We get email spams. We get phone spams. I've been swatted. We get followed in our cars. We get bumps in the night.
Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah. Well, the things happen because of what I do.
Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just from
you.
The Baptists. So there you go. Okay.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
You.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
All right, man. God bless. Okay.
God bless.
God bless. All right. Let's get to Zach from Indiana. Zach, welcome. You're on the air. Zach. Maybe because waiting a long time. Hey, there you go. Hey, man. What do you got, buddy? What's up?
All right. Yeah. So I was listening earlier when you were talking about Petros and Petra mm-hmm. and the Greek and all that. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at the Koine Greek, though, Petros and Petra, they both mean rock. And it's a feminine version and a masculine version of the same noun. When you look at small rock or pebble or whatever, you would be looking more for the Koine Greek word lithos, which is actually used when Satan tempts Jesus to turn the small stones into bread. And yeah. So to try to make that point against Peter and the papacy, it just really is not a strong
Oh, it's a point very strong
make,
argument.
So I think it's a little misleading.
It's a very strong argument. You're obviously a Roman Catholic, aren't you?
But right? Yeah, right? But they mean that.
Okay,
Petros
let me explain. Let me
same,
explain.
Mean
let
the
me
same
explain.
Thing.
No, it does not. Okay, Petros is masculine and singular. Hey, and let me ask you a question. Have you had Greek? Have you had Greek?
Yeah.
Okay, can you parse the verb ame? Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I can't.
Oh,
I don't
so you
have
haven't had Greek.
All the stuff in front of me right
so
now.
So hold on a sec. Hold on. You said you had Greek. You took Greek. So I asked you to parse,
yeah,
which is a...
Greek.
Well, wait a second.
It's been a few
well, hold on.
Years,
excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me. You want me to keep you...
The,
I'll put you on... I'm just going to have to shut you up. If you're going to talk like this while I'm trying to talk to you, I'm going to keep you quiet. It's my radio show, not yours. So I'm going to try you one more time. Are you there? Are you there?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I asked you if you knew Greek or had taken Greek. You said yes. First 2-3 weeks of Greek, you learn what it means to parse. Ame is the verb to be. To parse ame is present active indicative first person singular. That is basic Greek. So you're telling me you had
right.
Greek, but you
I
don't know.
I took Greek 9 years ago.
I took it. Well, I graduated in 1991. All right, that's 30
and
years
I
ago.
And I don't use it in my everyday work.
And neither do I. Now, stop making excuses. The word Peter is the word Petros. It's a masculine singular. And the word rock
right.
is feminine, Petra. Petra is used to designate a large mass of rock, and Petros is used to designate a small pebble, a small stone. Petros is masculine. Petros is masculine.
Where do you get that?
I tell you what, go to my website, karm.org, and look up Matthew 16:18, Petros Petro, look it up, and you'll see the documentation from the lexicons there. I don't have lexicon information memorized. But you should already know this if you've done any of your homework.
The lexicons say rock or stone.
Okay, guy, the word lithos is not there. And the word Petra, which
lithos
is...
Lithos means pebble.
Excuse me. I guess you just don't want to learn, do you? You're so convinced of the Roman Catholic Church. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question.
What is
Let me ask you a question.
Mean?
Let me ask you a question. It means rock. Let me ask you a question. Can you pray to Jesus? Listen to this, everybody. Can you pray
yeah.
to Jesus? Okay. If you pray to Jesus and ask him to forgive you of all of your sins, will he forgive you of all of your sins?
If I have perfect contrition or even imperfect contrition, yes. What does this
okay.
have to do with Peter?
So then, if you pray to Jesus and ask him to forgive you all of your sins, he'll forgive you all of your sins. So then why do you need a priest if you can go straight to Christ?
Because we're told to confess our sins.
Where does it say that? Where does it say to confess our sins to a priest in the Roman Catholic Church in the Bible? It doesn't. We've got to break. See if you can find
James,
it in the scriptures.
It does.
And then
John
we'll be right
20.
Back. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't anywhere. You show me.
Show
me where you think it goes. We've got to break. Let's see if this Zach guy can back up what he thinks the Word of God says. Roman Catholics are like cultists, folks. They don't listen. They don't learn. Hey, we'll be right back after this break.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's see if Zach is still there. Are you still there?
Yep.
So where does it say in the Bible to confess your sins to priests?
John 20:23 gives the apostles the authority to forgive sins.
Let's look at John 20:23.
You know, James 5 talks about confessing.
Hold on. One thing at a time. John 20:23. I asked you, where does it say to confess your sins to a priest? It doesn't say that. This
well, you're
is an address.
You're making an assumption.
No, you're making an assumption. John 20:23 doesn't
no,
say.
No, you're making an assumption.
Okay,
that
I gotta keep this guy
be
quiet because I have to get this guy quiet. He doesn't listen. He's made an assumption. I asked him specifically to show me a verse where it said to confess your sins to priests. And this verse is not to priests, it's to the disciples, where Jesus says, if you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven. And what this is the it's a perfect participle, perfect passive in the Greek, which means it has already been done. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have already been forgiven, is what it's saying in the Greek. And that's the correct translation. And the Catholics often go to this verse because they think that it means that the disciples had the ability to forgive sins, and somehow that was also transferred down the line. Nothing in the Bible says it was transferred down the line. This is an address to the disciples. This guy can't exegete, and the Catholics can't exegete Scripture. And furthermore, here's a question to ask about John 20:23. If you forgive the sins of they are forgiven. That's what they want to say. They are forgiven. No, but the Greek actually says they have been forgiven. Well, here's the question. Is Jesus obligated to forgive the sins of people that their so-called priests forgive? Is Jesus obligated to follow what the priest says? And that's a problem. Zach, are you still there?
Yeah.
Zach, you don't listen. You're just given over to Catholicism. So the verse that you quoted me, John 20:23, does not say what I asked you to find in Scripture. It doesn't say you confess your sins to priests. You understand
yes,
that?
It does, because the priests are, by extension, successors of the apostles. They have.
Where'd you get that?
They have been given their authority.
Where's that in Scripture?
Well, again, you're making an assumption that every single thing has to be found in Scripture.
Well,
where does Scripture give you the list of the canon of Scripture?
Excuse me. I asked you, where does it say it in the Word of God? We know the Scriptures are inspired. Whatever you want to say the canon is.
Well, you can go back to Matthew 16.
Excuse me. We're looking at Scripture.
You can find an act where they had a successor.
Okay, I'm asking you to show me verses where it's the transfer of power is from the disciples down further. Can you show me that?
Yeah, in Acts, that happens at the beginning of Acts when they give Matthias, Acts 1, I think it is.
That's not an apostolic authority to forgive sins or
requirement. Well, yeah, because you don't want it to be. So you don't want it to be, you're going to deny it. See, it doesn't matter what scripture I give, you're going to deny it.
Excuse me. It just doesn't say what you're saying. That's the issue. You're the one who wants it to say
it. It does.
No, it doesn't.
That's because what every church father believes, what I believe, not what you believe.
Look, let me just tell you something. You are so incredibly ignorant. Peter is not the rock on which the church is built, said Augustine. He says, quote, so I explain what the Lord said, thou art Peter, upon this rock I build my church, that it be understood as built upon him whom Peter confessed.
Well, Matt, you didn't even know that Petra and Petros mean rock.
Okay. So this guy, I just hung up on him, folks. Obviously, this is a great example of someone who's brainwashed, doesn't have the ability to listen even for a moment and have a conversation, misrepresents the issues to say, I didn't know that the word Petron, Petros, Lethos didn't mean rock. It's just ridiculous. The information and documentation are on the website. This is a great example of what happens when someone replaces Christ with something other than Christ. They become agendized, and all they want to do is bolster the idol that they put in place of Jesus. And notice, this guy wasn't talking about what Jesus was doing, but about what his priests in his church can do. And this is the thing you got to understand, is that the Roman Catholic Church replaces Christ with itself and uses Christ to justify it, because the Roman Catholic Church says that you can't find salvation outside of the church, and the church has the authority to interpret Scripture. The church has the authority to forgive sins. The church has the authority for sacraments. You have to go to the church to interpret Scripture, and that's what they do. They want salvation to be in their hands, not in Christ's hands, and that's the fault of the Roman Catholic Church, one among many. Let's get to Dylan, California. Turn that back down there, Dylan. Okay, there you go.
They want salvation to be in their hands, not in Christ's hands. That's the fault.
Are you there?
Catholic Church, one among many. Let's get to Dylan.
let's move past Dylan, and let's get to Anthony from Oklahoma. Anthony, welcome. You're on the air. Anthony? People wait a long time. Let's see. Are you there, Anthony? I'm waiting for you.
Yes, there, Matt. How you doing, brother?
Doing all right. Oh, Anthony from Oklahoma. Okay. Here we go. So what do you got, buddy?
Okay. Yes, Matt. I think I called last week, and I was asking you about the oneness. And I like what you said. I think you're right. That's why I call in, to be educated. Now,
good.
It pertains to how some people can join a certain denomination and still be saved because they're ignorant of Scripture, like the other guy that
you yeah, to a degree, about yes.
Roman Catholicism. Uh-huh. Now, if somebody is in Roman Catholicism, and let's say they're not too knowledgeable of Scripture, could they still be saved?
Depends on what the issue is. Just depends. People be saved in different levels of ignorance and different things. It has to do with whether they're continuing to deny the truth once it's been exposed to them. Okay.
Okay. Now, Matt, the other guy that was on there the phone before me and you, is he lost? Did John say that?
I don't know, but if he affirms official Roman Catholic theology regarding salvation, then he would be lost. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If Good he answer. Does, I don't know if he does or not.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Appreciate it, Matt. Thank you.
All right, man. God bless.
That's
buddy.
It. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Let's get to Alex from Orlando, Florida. Alex, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, brother. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I sent you a super chat on YouTube. If you could answer that after the show.
I saw that, buddy. That thanks, would be man. Great. Alex Alexander, right? You sent super chat $10.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
I hung out with Andrew Rappaport the other night. He says good things about you.
Well, I won't say anything good about Andrew because the slime ball has beat me buying lunches so many times over the years that I can't say anything good about him. So he's just except that he beats me all except for the last one, which I got him, which was epic. So,
you did get him. You got him in the last one.
Yes, I did. Took a while, but I finally got him.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you got, buddy?
So I'm going to ask you a different question. Yeah, I'm going to ask you a different question really quick. So I texted you the other day. I'm reading through Exodus 37. Who was Bezalel, and when it says in Exodus 37:7, he made two cherubim, was he directly making angels for the tabernacle? That's my question.
I don't know. Because, I'm just not going to snow you and try and make it sound like I know what I'm talking about here, but I've not studied that in a long time. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head, just out of Exodus 37. But you said he made two cherubim?
Yeah, so it says he made two cherubim for the tabernacle. And I'm wondering, were the angels directly made for that tabernacle?
Oh. I don't know. I'd have to look at that because we do know of the mercy seat. The cherubim were there touching, the angel's wings almost touching. And acacia wood, 2 cubits long in heaven. That looks like it's the object that went in the Holy of Holies. Yes, there were 6 branches. Yep. So I don't know if it was touched.
So it wasn't an angel, but it was just an object?
It was a construction, so it was an object representing an angel. The cherubim. Made those things.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And then, I mean, really quick, that super chat. You got any solid Christian news sources?
News sources.
Yeah.
Christianity Today is pretty good, and Christian Post or Global Christian News.
Global Christian News.
That's also good. And I recommend on the phone to get Conservative News Pro. And I spent $3 or $4, and I paid for it, and it's conservative websites, news things, and you can go in and click all kinds of articles. And they show stuff in there that the leftist media won't even go near. The leftist media is not to be trusted. Not to be trusted. Okay.
Okay. All right. My wife was asked. She's off at CNN. She's on a lot of that stuff. She's like, I got to get some unbiased news.
Yeah. Here, ChristianPost.com, ChristianHeadlines.com is another one. I should write an article and recommended Christian news sources. Okay. And believe it or not, I'm going to be very... Well, there's another one that's pretty decent, and it's not Christian. It's a Christian Science. It's a cult. But they do really good objective work, at least they used to. And I don't know what they've done later. But the reason is because of the theological perspective dealing with the nature of truth as it properly represents actuality. It gets into some stuff. And they're very objective, which is surprising. But the Christian ones, I would definitely go to Christian Post, ChristianHeadlines.com, and check out Conservative News Pro. I use it on my phone. I use it every day. And you just go through there.
Okay.
A bunch of good stuff.
Yeah, and I'll check those out. And quick PSA, you guys should support this brother. Me and my wife are supporting him monthly. You guys should support this brother. He's fighting the cults. He's helping to advance the kingdom of God. He's doing the work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, you're talking about me? Oh.
Yeah, I'm talking about you, brother.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Appreciate that. Definitely need prayer. Boy, I could tell you guys what we're trying to work on, what's going on with CARM and the areas we're trying to expand and how much help we need. Oh, there's a lot. So, there's a lot. Okay?
Okay, brother. God bless you, man. Keep up the good work, man. Keep up the fight.
All right, man. God bless. All right. Yeah. Appreciate that. Okay, let's get to Rob from Memphis in the last minute. We got Rob. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, Matt, third-time caller. And I want to say that CARM is a great school and it's a great resource.
Oh,
also,
thanks,
I want to tell you this, that I got brushed off by Ray Comfort the other day. I thought I had a very valid question for him, and he brushed me off. He didn't answer it. But he said the greatest sin is not loving God because that is the first and the greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I asked him, I said, well, how is that the greatest sin if that's a forgivable sin? The only unforgivable sin is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't it seem that's a forgivable sin? So wouldn't blasphemy against the Holy Spirit be the greater sin? And I got brushed off. Can you help give some clarity on this?
Yeah, I would agree with you that unbelief and rejecting God and not loving God are all forgivable. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is not. In fact, because what you just asked, I'm going to write an article called What is the Greatest Sin? I'll go through that. All right?
Oh, well, that's amazing. Thank you.
And I know Ray. He's a great guy. All right, buddy.
Yeah,
God bless.
He's a great guy.
Out of here.
All right,
guys. Okay. Sorry about that. Andre, call back. I love talking about women pastors and stuff. Call back tomorrow. Dylan from Bakersfield. And, the actual books of the Bible. Oh, that'll be good. Call back tomorrow. God bless, everybody. We'll talk to you then.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.